Blog Talk Radio. Praise the Lord. And once again, I want to welcome everybody to Blog Talk Radio and Kingdom Builders International. I am your speaker and host for tonight, Apostle Keith Blanton. And as always, it is a pleasure to become or be before you as one of God's servants to bring his word and what I believe he is saying in this hour. And again, I welcome everybody that is here listening, that have invited me into your ear gates tonight, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you. It is a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. And again, I'm excited about what God is showing me and what he is doing in this season. And my prayer is that you are excited and that you would be a part of what the Holy Spirit is moving in this season. Well, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. We had a time this past Friday in service, and the Holy Spirit and demonstration and power showed up. My God, he showed up like never before in the service, people of God. And for you all that don't know, we have services in the Chicagoland area at 7203 South Emerald Avenue at Cry Unto Me Rescue Mission Church there. It's right off the corner of 72nd and Emerald, one block east of 72nd and Halstead, where Double Impact Ministries are hosting services every Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. And then we have prayer from that point on until God releases us to go on into the next place of the service. But this Friday, the Lord moved by his Spirit so strongly, people of God, to where he brought the word, and then the people in the house started pulling, and I opened the door for the people of God to ask questions, and they, oh my God. Then the Lord shifted and took us into another part of demonstrating the Holy Spirit and power, where he called the people up to the altar and began to take them into a place of travail and agonizing in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit did this, not me. The Holy Ghost did this, and power began to take them into travail right there on the altar to demonstrate that he can do whatever he wants to do, Remohushaya, when he gets ready. And that's just not the end of it. So many people, the people that were there, looked like the spirit of prophecy began to fall on even the young children that were there. And about six people began to talk and come forth and say that they had vision and revelation that God was dealing with them with in that service. And it all tied into the message, and it all brought us to another place in the spirit. I tell you, God is really moving, and he's turning it up. Even today, people of God, he shared with me today, I was doing something. I don't quite remember what it was, but the Lord began to speak to me and show me about the miracles, the creative miracles that are about to hit the land. And some things are already happening now. But he said that there was going to come forth a demonstration of power and miracles, creative miracles, tangible signs and wonders, unthinkable miracles that you would have never seen before. Some of you have never seen. Yeah, you've often heard of these things, and people having limbs growing back, eyes put back in their head, their ears being opened up, eyes being placed back into the sockets, and things along that line. People whose limbs were cut off or amputated, grown back. I'm here to tell you, God showed it to me in an open vision today, and he told me we are entering into that season where he's getting ready to cause the atheists to begin to believe that there is a God, and he's going to be doing so many things all over the place. Watch this, people of God. Out of darkness is where God begins to move. The scripture says that when he spoke in the beginning, he spoke and said, let there be, and it was. It was. And it took a process of time for it to happen in some instances, but if you go through the book of Genesis, every time God said, let there be, that was something to take place over a period of time. That is God's spoken word. That is his creative word, backed up by the power of God that works with the Trinity. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the dunamis power of God that works together. And listen, that word that he spoke comes to pass. God let me know today that there was going to be people that carry the cloud, that carry the anointing, that are carriers of destiny and grace and authority, that have the ark of God on the inside of them, that will begin to proclaim, begin to speak the word, and begin to say what God is saying in the earth in this time. And those things are going to come about like never before. Even the fact that they're going to be speaking to people's situations, their financial situations, to their limbs, to their body parts, to their circumstances and their situations. And I'm not talking about a prophetic word of exhortation and in the manner of coming forth in divination, where you've got a gift and there's no power behind it. I'm talking about people who have the gift of miracles and the spirit of faith on the inside of them, and the Jesus Christ that we all talk about is alive in their very being, and that the Holy Ghost, the dunamis power of God, is working above them. They are laboring with the Holy Ghost to bring these things into existence. God looks for somebody to work with. He looks for somebody that he can make himself known through to the people of God. He looks for people that he can that will stand in the gap and that will make up the heads. He looks to disciple his children and bring them into a place of the fullness of God in whoever he has called you to be. God is perfecting that thing, I promise you. He's bringing you to that place even now. Well, this is what we are getting ready to start seeing like never before. Oh, by Shanda, idiocy. And I'm here to tell you, I want to move in that. I have purpose, and I'm even to this day, right now, today, I am rededicating and saying another yes to the Holy Ghost and to the Lord. I want God to move in the miraculous, and I want to see, not for my glory, not for me to be edified, but I told God I want to see him do it so that he can bring the souls in. I want to see him do it because I want to stand in awe. I to this very day, when I see God doing even what he did in the services on this Friday, I stand in awe. It makes me to say, oh, my God, look at God. Never does it cross my mind to say, look at me, or how God is using. No. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Father. It's the Son. I'm looking for God to do things in our midst so that I can stand back and say, Lord, you have your way. Oh, God. Makuria Bahashanda. Look, people, he just even dropped something in my spirit. Even now, we are in a season. I ain't going to tell you what he just said, but I'll tell you this much. We are in a season where God is resurrecting and even birthing out gifts and giving us more grace, only to those that are humble, only to those that have been faithful over a few things. God is going to begin to show you things you have never seen before in this hour. I am proclaiming and prophesying to you right now. Yes, I am. I'm letting you know that everyone under the sound of my voice, you're going to hear or see something that is going to be tangible in your life that you're going to say, only God could have done this very thing that we are witnessing. Even the believer. Now, I'm not talking about the unbeliever. I'm talking about the believer. I'm talking about those that's been sitting in the church professing that they know Jesus, but haven't seen a move of God that's getting ready to hit this God green earth. You're getting ready to see, and your faith is getting ready to go to another level, and God is getting ready to even convince you who have been in the church, sitting in the church for, oh my God, I felt somebody's spirit quicken right there. I can't hear you, but I know I felt your spirit quicken right there. God is even getting ready to cause your faith to take a leap because you've been sitting in the church for years. Some people are sitting in dead houses, don't even realize they're twice dead, plucked up by the root. God is getting ready to show up or do what you call a realignment, and it's already begun. He's getting ready to move people out of the way that's been sitting in the way of the Holy Ghost, and it's going to happen in this hour quickly. And people are getting ready to see a move of God to where the manifestation of the glory is going to show up, and your faith is going to take, oh my God, what are you saying, Lord? He said, your faith is going to take on such a level of belief in this hour when you begin to see these things happening. Even those that have been sitting in the church for years, their faith is going to take on another dimension and leap, and then God is going to be able to usher you out of that place of lowly bar and doubt and fear and unbelief and put you into another realm to where you too will have the opportunity to have the glory of God to fall upon your life. He says, I'm getting ready to do a work in this hour, and work a work that even your eyes will not believe, if it, though it were told you. But I'm telling you, under the unction and the prophetic word tonight, my God, I had a completely different way I was going, but I'm going to let God do what he's doing now. I'm letting you know by the Holy Ghost, your eyes are about to behold some tangible experiences, some things that God is getting ready to move and do in the earth realm, that if your mama didn't believe, if your daddy didn't believe, if your sisters and your brothers didn't believe, they're going to know God is who he said he is. The atheist, the Buddha, the idol worshippers, the Krishnas, those who are worshiping the false god, the false prophet is even going to say, oh my God, I want that right there. What have I been operating in? I got a gift, I'm prophesying, but I ain't hearing nobody tell me that God has backed it up. But what is this I'm seeing here, this power thing that's going on, this demonstration of the Holy Ghost that's manifesting within the earth? What is that? I want that right there. But I'm here to tell you, you can't buy it with money. You can't buy it with silver and gold. You got to buy it with your life, your very life. You've got to put it on the altar. You've got to present your body a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God. That is your reasonable service. This ain't something that you can purchase with your money. You're going to have to purchase this with a sacrifice. You're going to have to purchase this with a life that is consecrated before God and that loves him with the very fiber of every fiber of your being. Listen, you're going to have to go to the cross. In fact, many of you should be on the cross already, knowing this, and we're going on into the word now. Hallelujah. God, let me know, let us know in the service on this past Friday, this past Friday night, that many people don't understand the season that we're in and have missed God many times and don't even realize that the judgment have come to pass. Judge the enemies, and people are getting delivered, and then they're not holding their deliverances. But this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. Out of Exodus, the 12th chapter, and then we're going to be going to Romans, the 6th chapter as well. Both chapters starting at the first verse. But let me say this, Exodus first. We're in a season where God is saying, I'm getting ready to visit your house. I'm getting ready to visit, yes, this is a rhema word. This is a prophetic utterance of the Lord. I'm getting ready to visit that particular situation in you that you've been crying out for deliverance for. I'm getting ready to visit your spiritual house. It's time to smite that enemy that have been plaguing you. Yeah, I know he's been throwing you for a loop. He has caused you to fall into that thing many times over. But God says you're in a season now where if you would just humble yourself before me in this hour and begin to consecrate yourself, get in the word, allow me to deal with you, show you revelation knowledge. Let me bring you into the knowledge of truth in areas first. And then this is what's going to begin to happen. Let's go to Exodus real quick. To the 12th chapter, I want to give everybody time to turn to that word, Exodus, the 12th chapter. We're going to be starting at the first verse. Lord, I thank you. Father God, feed your people, O bread of Zion. Please, Lord God, have your right of way. I can't do this without you, Lord. I truly need you tonight. I don't want me to be in the way. I want you to tell your people what they need to hear, Father. For they need you. They don't need Keith. They don't need an apostle. They need Keith. They don't need the prophet. They don't need, my God, they don't need the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist. They need you, Jesus, right now. They need you, Hallelujah. Yes, you're using me, but God, most of all, let them hear you. I would see Jesus as well. Father, bind every devil in the name of Jesus. Bind every spirit that will come to bring confusion, distraction. Yes, Lord. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, tell every one of you, if you've got a TV on, cut it off. If you've got any distraction in your household right now, turn it off. I said, the Holy Ghost told me, if you got these things on in your presence right now, any distractions that will cause you to move from the word tonight, turn it off. Remove it. Sit the kids down. Then get a pen and a piece of paper and take notes tonight. Don't take the word of God lightly. For too long we have gone into church and have sat at the feet of Jesus in some instances, and then in other instances we've been in an entertainment position to where we have gone to the building, the assembly of God, where people come together to hear the word, but we've been entertained. And we go there with looking to hear a lovely tune or a song. Can somebody hit the proper note? Can they raise the roof off the building? Doc, you killed them dead tonight. Doc, you preached that word. Daughter, sister, you really hit them right between. No, we ain't looking for no accolades. We here to hear what thus saith the Lord and to take note and to get this thing down on the inside of us, because I'm here to tell you there's going to come a time very soon where you're going to wish you had some word down on the inside of your being, because it's going to be nothing but the word that's going to stand and last. God's word does not lie. He said, everything on this earth, prophecy is going to fail. The kingdoms are going to fail of darkness. Everything, man's doctrines are going to fail. But God's word is the only thing that's going to last forever. This earth is going to pass away, but this word, it will last forever. So take notes. Remove the distractions. I hope you're moving in that now, because we're going into this word now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for that. And we ask that the table be spread for your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus, the 12th chapter, the first verse says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood, take of the blood, take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat, my God, and they shall eat of the flesh, or the flesh in the night, roast with fire. Sound like some good eating going on there. Unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not it raw, nor soddened at all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs, and with his pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. Sound like the Holy Ghost was giving a man of God to give the people instructions on how to get before him and to offer up a sacrifice. My God, in this hour, and I'm not through reading yet, God, if you just humble yourselves, people of God, you don't want to miss what's getting ready to happen. Hopefully, those that are on the line that have been under the ministry with me since January, you have been doing these things because it was crucial and pivotal unto this point. In other words, everything that you have been being ministered to and everything that we've been ushered into since January of this year is crucial along through now. Listen, let's finish reading. And it says, and you shall let, the 10th verse says, and you shall let nothing of it remain until morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Listen, this is it here. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. Did you hear that? Against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Let me work with that right there for a minute. When you hear that, where he says, I'm going to pass through the land this night and smite all the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. Right out of that, God gives me to know that there's getting ready to be some death that's going to come through in this season, both natural and spiritual. Don't be amazed at what you're going to begin to hear and that have already started to hear come to your ears. There's going to be a lot of people dying, folks. I've got to just tell you like it is. This is the word. This is the season that we're entering in. Ever so often, God has to bring this season. The Bible tells us that there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. You can read that in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. This is the place where God is doing a cleansing, and he has to do this ever so often because things begin to multiply and sometimes get out of hand. But it is already set as a law in the earth that these things must be. And then, know this, people of God, each and every one of us has been given space to repent. There is nobody on this earth that have not, and I know we're going to have some people that's going to beg to differ, but I promise you, God is dealing with each and every soul on this earth and has given them some sort of experience or visitation, some kind of sighting, some unction, at least in these United States, to where he's showing you there's another way out. And the only way out is through his son, Jesus. So when we don't take heed and don't understand the seasons of judgment that the Lord has brought us into, what ends up happening is that death can hit. Death can hit. And as a result, listen, people of God, that judgment can hit those who have ignored the call of God. That judgment can also hit those who have answered the call of God. And God says, I've got to remove them, because if I don't take them, they won't make it for what's getting ready to come on the earth. So God will take some, save them, and then take them on to glory with him. So in this season, you're going to witness both natural and spiritual deaths to take place. This spiritual thing that's happening and should be happening already in your spirit. God gave me to tell the people this Friday that we should be dead to sin. We should not be alive to sin, period. We're going to deal with that over in Romans in just a moment. But what's happening now is God is saying, I've waited for my people to get to this particular place so that I can begin to crucify the flesh. There's getting ready to be what you call a season, a quick season where God is going to take you through Death Valley for some. Yeah, some of you are going to get another chance and then others won't. But as far as the judgment is concerned, but you're getting ready to go through a death season where he's going to resurrect and bring to life some things. But before that, he's got to deal with you and he's got to bring deliverance to your house. How does he do that? Well, God is going to start dealing with you again and giving you revelation knowledge and showing you truth, because this is also a new beginning, a season of new beginning. So he has to bring some things to you. This is also a season where God is going to cause you to have an exodus, which means he's going to bring you out of some things that you've been bound up with and tied up to, and he's getting ready to loose you and let you go free. This is both natural and spiritual. Now, some of you may have been in unforgiveness for quite some time. You've been plagued with bitterness. You've been plagued with dealing with the spirit of rejection, hurt, deep hurt, whatever it is. your enemy, and God is going to deal with you and bring deliverance to your spiritual house and smite the firstborn, smite the enemy, smite that demonic spirit of Egypt that's operating within you, which means he's going to bring deliverance. But now, you must understand that when God brings, oh, my Shanda, when God brings deliverance, you need to understand where he's working at. You should know him. The Bible says this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, he comes to bring deliverance to the areas that he've already dealt with and showed you the truth about. That truth that he shared with you first purged the house. It broke the yoke in your life. It set you free. But there has to come a deliverance now where he smites that demon and runs him up out of you and cleans out the house and says, now run for your life. Run for your life. Don't go back to that particular area of sin again. Don't touch that unclean place again, because now I've showed you the clean place, the newness of life. I've put in you truth. I've given you a fresh new way of thinking, and I don't want you to touch that any longer. That 12th verse says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. This means that the false prophets are getting ready to be exposed for what they are, because God's going to show you revelation and going to deal with some of his people and give you to know that what you heard was not of God. He's going to give you discernment of spirit and show that what you have been hearing about and from the prophets of Baal was not of God. He's going to deal with them idols. He's going to deal with those spirits that have had you in bondage. Oh, the destroyer is coming to set you free. Ah, my hey, somebody's getting that in the spirit right there. Listen, when he sets you free, make sure you don't go back to that place. You've got to become dead to that thing. Amen? And he says this. He said, and the blood shall be, the 13th verse, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. Let's talk about your spiritual house right there. He's talking about your spiritual house. When he sees that you are walking in the spirit of truth, when you have repented, when you have accepted the truth and have been delivered, then you walk in that place of deliverance and don't come out anymore. See, heretofore we have people that's performing exorcisms on souls. They're getting the devils out of folks, but they don't teach them how to walk in deliverance and to hold fast that grace that God has given to you. When you get delivered, you must learn the wisdom and keep that door closed by obedience. You must become faithful in that. The scripture over in Hebrews, the sixth chapter, in the first verse, says something like this. It says, let us not lay again the same foundation of dead works unto repentance, but he says, let us go on to perfection, meaning maturity. Let us come to a place where God will bring you into a maturity where you've learned how to walk upright in that particular area of deliverance that you've received from the Lord. Let that wisdom that you've received come to a place of growth. Don't become stagnated any longer. Don't act like a child in that place any longer. Don't keep tripping and flipping and falling and getting your knees all messed up in the spirit, so to speak, because you won't cleave to the wisdom and the word of God. We don't like to die or continue in suffering. It's easy for us to go back to doing old things and what we are comfortable with at doing, because it's down in your carnal nature. So we resort back to something that is more familiar to us when things get a little rough. But right there when things get rough is where you're supposed to say, okay, it's time to batten down the hatches, because this is that death valley. This is where it's going to get hard, and my flesh is trying to fight and resist the wisdom and the word of God, but God have already placed a restraint on it. God has put a rope around the enemy's neck in my flesh, and it is designed for me to die to my will. I can't fall away from this thing anymore. I've got to learn how to walk upright, meaning I'm no longer as that little child in the grace that he's given to me, making excuses for me to say, I fall down, I get up. No, no, no. Even that natural baby, that baby that come out of the mother's womb, he starts to know how, he's inquisitive, first of all, about the people that are standing upright before him in the natural. natural. He sees the mother and the father and maybe brothers and sisters. She sees these things going on around them. And now he begins to, at 5, 6, 7 months, start to pull himself upon tables and begin to try to take his first steps. And then the mother and the father is right there to aid in the assisting or aid in getting that baby to take its first steps. And then after a while, he gets that first step. He may fall down once or twice. He may even hurt his little knees or something. But the mother, the father's right there encouraging him, saying, you can do it, come on. And when that baby takes the first 2, 3 steps, the mother, the father, and the baby start breaking out in laughter and joy. And then all of a sudden, they break out in a trot. I noticed that babies tend to try to run before they can walk sometimes. Have you ever noticed that? And that's just like some of us, too, in the spirit world. But nonetheless, when that baby gets his footing, oh, glory to God. Now, you can't take that from them unless an accident happens or something that will cause them to become lame. Oh, bless the name of God. Lord, the God, I can't get away from that miracles that God says. He don't care if it's become lame in the past. God's getting ready to do something to turn the hand of the enemy and what the enemy has intended for bad. If you were lame in your feet, if you're lame in your legs, whatever it is, God's getting ready to start working miracles that cannot be not denied. The point is, though, people of God, that when that baby takes his steps and he gets his footing, now he does not need to learn how to walk all over again. He just goes on to perfection. He perfects the walk, and then soon he begins to mature. Well, it's the same thing that God is saying to you. When you have received the wisdom of God, you don't need to keep making mistakes. You've got to study this thing. You've got to do what the Word says. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be made ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. You've got to master the grace that he shows you. If he showed you how to walk in love, you can't be missing. You've got to get this thing, because God says there's a season where judgment comes, where I smite them enemies in you, I deliver you, I get rid of the hatred and the unforgiving spirit, because I've expected you to have gotten this thing right. I was sharing with the people this past Friday. The Lord said, there is such thing called a space to repent or a season to get it right. In other words, you got such a time or a small window in order to get this thing right before those spirits that God come to get out of you come back on you. Oh, you better hear that again. You have a season in which God says, I will allow the portal, which is the door, to go around in a full revolution, a circle, and God's clock is not like ours. It may be 3 months, 4 months that he'll give you time. Sometimes it's just 2 months. In this hour, God's saying, get ready, get ready, get ready fast, and do this thing and learn it now, because we don't have that much time. He's getting ready to speed this thing up and cut it short in righteousness. So you need to learn how to walk this walk quickly and stop stumbling and falling. He told you to shut your mouth, stop gossiping, stop cussing folk out when you ain't getting your way. Then you need to master that place. You need to do that, because when truth showed up and he gave you the revelation about yourself, that was deliverance right there. That was the spirit of truth coming into your heart, setting you free right there. So that means those spirits was cast out. They were broken off. And at some point, God gave you a total deliverance of that enemy and said, now walk in the newness of life. Let me skip over here to Romans real quick and go to the 6th chapter, the 1st verse. And it says these words. I'm going to give you a chance to get there just a second. Romans, the 6th chapter, the 1st verse, says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, my God, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I bet you better get that one. I'm going to read that again. It says in the 3rd verse. Let's go back to the 2nd. I want you to get this. God forbid. First verse says, shall we continue in sin? The 2nd verse says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You can't live in sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, meaning you got to die on the cross too. Yeah, you got to die to hate. You got to die to lying. You got to die to that, masturbation. You got to die to that unclean spirit. You got to die to manipulation. You got to die to unforgiveness. You've got to die to fornication. You've got to die to everything that God has said can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Got to die to it. The fourth verse says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Meaning this, once he shows you the revelation of love and any other thing, any other grace that God gives to you, the wisdom, the kingdom keys, the principles to live by, you can no longer go back to doing what you used to. You have been given a special invitation to walk with Jesus in the newness of life. Who wouldn't want to walk with the Savior? Yeah, I know we fall down, but we need to get up and stay up and stop falling down. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless against that day. Listen, he wants to present us a church without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. But we can't do it if we got a mindset that says, well, God knows my heart, I'll make that mistake again and he'll just clean me up. Yeah, but you're missing out on the glory. You're missing out on the essence of the Holy Ghost. You're missing out on the new life that's in Christ Jesus. You're missing out on those refillings or those baptisms of the Holy Ghost. Did you not know God will not fill a place that's full of darkness where you have not surrendered and submitted to the Holy Ghost? Did you not know that the Holy Ghost, Habibiosha, did you not know that the Holy Ghost can't dwell in an unclean place, an atmosphere? He doesn't want to do that. Light and darkness, the Bible says, cannot dwell in the same place. And if you need proof of that, I dare you to go in your bedroom, cut off all the lights, make sure all the windows are closed, make sure every sheet in the house is drawn, and then hit the light switch and watch darkness flee. All God is saying is, I want to turn the light on in your spiritual house, but I need your help. I need you to close out darkness. I need you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is not just something that you think is your right, but it's your service. It's your reasonable service. Yeah, you have a right to an inheritance if you'll present your body to me. You can have the promises of God if you would seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. If you would lay down your life and allow me to live in you, then you can see the Holy Ghost come and live on the inside of you. And that's where Paul said, it will be no more you that work the work, but it will be the Christ that liveth in you. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in Jesus is saying, I'm looking for somebody that will say a yes and mean it. I'm looking for somebody that will allow me to come in and sup with him. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. In other words, when you know to do good, don't turn away from me. Give it your best shot to resist that thing. The Bible says to resist the devil, resist the temptation, resist the test in the right way, and he'll flee. Meaning your flesh is going to be put to death. It's got to be put to death so that you can see the life of Christ on the inside. Fifth verse says in Romans the 6th chapter, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I want to look like God. 7 verse says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. If Jesus came to set us free from bondage, slave mentalities, in the spirit, the thing that have kept us in bondage and captivity to the sentence of death and hell, then why come we can't love him with everything we can or give it our best shot? That's all the Holy Ghost is really asking for us, is to give it our best shot. We cannot continue to make excuses for this flesh to sit on the throne. The Holy Ghost wants us to give it our best shot, because he said that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That's the seventh verse. Eighth verse says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. The Bible also said this here. Let's keep reading that verse. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. 11th verse. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. 12th verse. This is the key. Let not, which means, the word let means to hinder not. Don't even give place to. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. If I had to reword that, hinder not the Holy Ghost from living in you and permitting sin to stay in you. Don't allow the Holy Ghost to be hindered from living in you, and rather yet let sin have dominion over you, meaning that it's ruling you. My God, the Lord set the... Let's just talk. Let's just be real here. God did away, and the natural man did away with slavery some years ago. Some years ago. Let me just say it that way, because in essence, in reality, there's a system of demonic forces that's still trying to place us in slavery right now in this very hour and drive us back into that place that God brought us out from, that he had given us permission to vote for, to give us a right to vote and to become productive people in society, in the natural. But now, if Jesus died for us and gave us a right to become a productive citizen of the kingdom of God, how much more shall we have dominion with him and over all the earth, knowing that nothing in this earth can take the place and rule and have dominion as we have permitted it to, calling ourselves children of the Most High God, talking about we're saved and got all power and authority, and we're sitting around watching certain things happen on the news and in the media, but then we're not going before God to petition him for instructions and the proper weapons to use to intercede and to destroy the works of darkness. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but I was sent for to destroy the works of darkness. And if the same Christ that have raised Jesus from the dead be also in you, he can quicken your mortal body, bring you into a place of resurrected power, dominion, and authority over all the earth, and show you how to go in and to effectively pray that some things don't never have to be. I know that we've heard that some things are prophesied in the scriptures that certain things are going to be. But my Bible and the Holy Ghost told me these things. He said, son, I always make a way of escape for my people. Yes, some things can come to pass and you're going to see them. He said, but when my people begin to rise up in supreme authority and begin to understand and know who they are in the kingdom, some stuff can be changed. Some things and all things can be taken dominion over. He said, but we got a people that's still operating in jealousy, self-righteousness, and envy, and they're too busy pointing the finger at the person and not seeing the chief prince that's operating, that's orchestrating these different rules into the White House and to the government. Oh, my God. The Lord told us and have been telling many prophets in the land that there was going to come a new government to be ushered in, a new authority, and that God was going to reestablish his authority in the earth. Well, this is the number year 2012. That means authority. That means government as well. Then why on earth are we not taking dominion the way we should? Oh, it's because the saints are still having issues with jealousy and envy and have not given up their right, the flesh right to rule in their life, the sinful nature to rule, and have allowed Jesus to sit on the throne of your heart. People of God, God gives me to tell you tonight, if you want to see Jesus operate in the tangible, in the unthinkable, and in the miraculous miracles that are just ridiculous, if you want to see things changed, sell out, if you want to see an effective prayer come to pass, then give up your life and follow God, because it is the fervent of fervent effectual prayers of the righteous, not the wicked, not the sinner, the righteous that availeth much. It is the prayers of those who have presented their bodies a living sacrifice, who knows that they are a kingdom of kings and priests and queens, because you can't be a king and a king and a woman. No, a king can dwell on the inside, but it does not change your gender. You're still a woman. So I'll tell you just like this. He has raised you up to become kings and queens in the earth, mothers and daughters in Zion, sons and daughters in Zion. Ah, yes, that's what I'm talking about right there. Oh, glory to God. If you will to surrender yourself to the Lord, all of us, including me, the more of God. I told you in the beginning of this that all of us, I even said myself, God, I'm giving you another yes. I want to get this thing so down on the inside of me to where nothing but you live. Nothing but you is permeating and coming out of my total existence. I want to see the wonders of God because I want to see people saved. I want my children walking in the kingdom and really tearing the devil's head up because the enemy is giving the youth an uppercut. He's dealing with them and killing them, and he's even launched his own youth to try to attack the children of the Most High God. So why come we can't get in the position to pray and begin to take these chiefs out, begin to take these spirits out that have been holding our children in captivity, holding our loved ones in bondage? Why? Satan can't cast out Satan. Let that sink for a minute. If a house be divided against itself, it can't stand. Satan cannot. In other words, unforgiveness can go tell somebody how to love and then get rid of their devil, especially if you're still walking in it in yourself. An unclean spirit can go and tell somebody to stop masturbating and getting rid of lust and doing all these other things if you're still walking in it yourself. I know we don't want to hear this one tonight. Oh, glory to God. Yes, indeed. Self-gratification, desire, ungodly, inordinate affections. We can't tell somebody else how to get clean and get us into a place to get these yokes off of somebody else because we still operating in the flesh. There is no justification for it. There is no justification for it. There is no justification. I'm going to say it one more time. There is no justification for it. What's good for me is good for everybody else. If God has required for me to present my body holy, then I know he's saying the same thing to everybody else that pick up that holy writ and that come into the kingdom. Lay aside every weight, every sin that doeth so easily beset you, and then you run the race with patience. Uh-huh. Yes, glory to God. Well, in order for God to have full dominion in your life and for us to see the signs and wonders that we want him to show us, let's give God another yes. Let's tell the Lord another yes. Let's sacrifice. Uh-oh. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Listen, you better make your mind up quick. The door is about to shut. We're getting ready to come out of that particular episode. God is sending deliverance. If you don't mean it in this hour, I promise you, he's going to send the deliverance because you didn't hear the word, and he already told you to turn from it. But the deliverer is going to come anyway. And if you're not under the blood, that enemy is going to hit you again. That enemy is going to become stronger in you, and you're not going to be able to turn away from that thing that have had you in bondage this long. We don't want to miss the season of deliverance. We don't want to miss it. I'm going back to Exodus, and we're going to close it out. Scripture says in Exodus, the 12th chapter, the 12th verse. Wow, the Holy Ghost just showed me something. And I just looked at this as I scrolled. Exodus 12, the number 12 is there. Authority, government, establishment. Oh, my God. And then you go to the 12th verse. It's lining up. God is a God of numbers. He's a God that operates in a pattern. He does things in order. He does not deviate from his principles, but man will take it and jack it up and deviate from it. That 12th verse shows that God is getting ready to come through and smite your enemies. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. People of God, it's coming. Get yourselves in order. I'm going to pray before we have gotten off this line. And I'm going to ask God to give us a deliverance and to come and smite our firstborn, to fight, to smite the enemies of Egypt within our minds. If you're holding an unforgiving spirit, you need to let it go. If you're holding any malice in your heart, any contempt, you need to let it go against your brother, your sister. It ain't worth it. If you can't live with one another, you need to let that thing go and learn to live in unity. It's time out for all of this foolishness. And we call ourselves saints, can't even live in the same household, can't even go to church and dwell in the assembly of God, because you're the church. You can't even go to the assembly of God and walk in there without having a grudge. And I remember what she did to me last week. I really don't want to have nothing to do with her. That's the spirit of a grudge. Quickly, I got to give you a testimony. The only way that God allowed me to come into my blessings years ago is because I had to be taught the spirit of forgiveness. I held the grudge against my mother and daddy and didn't really realize that I was holding that unforgiving spirit. People would come to me and God would say, let that thing go. You need to release that thing through people. Forgive your mother, forgive your dad, and God is going to bless you beyond your measure. I would look at them and tell them, I have forgiveness for my mother. I love my father. But in my heart, God knew I was lying. Not me. I was deceived. I didn't see it. But you know what he did? I ended up going through literally hell, living on the streets and everything. That thing almost killed me because unforgiveness will strip you, especially when you're in the kingdom of God. He will allow that spirit to begin to strip you butt naked, and then you'll be turned over to the tormentors as well, because the Bible says that if you from your heart do not forgive your brother or your sisters, God says, I'll turn you over to the tormentors, meaning that you'll start having confusion in your mind, don't even know what's going on, deception will hit you. Well, that thing hit me because I held on to it too long, thinking that I was doing the right thing. Sitting in the church, jacked up, but God, one day I was in the back of my dad's house in his car. God pushed me to live with them, but I swore I'd die before I go live with my mama. Then when I went to go stay with my daddy, and I almost died too, people of God. When I went to go stay with my daddy, the Lord told me to forgive. I had been there for almost 6, 7, 8 months. And I went from living in the house to living in his car in the Cadillac in the back of the yard, holding that grudge. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. I just want God to bless me so that I won't be able to have to deal with this mess no more. That's what I was telling God. Uh-oh, this is testimony. And see, this is the place of victory that God gave me. And he told me the only way out is through my enemies, not the people. Remember I said that your enemy is not the person, it's the spirit that operates in the person. He said, the only way out is through your enemy, meaning you got to learn how to love your enemy. You got to learn how to do good to them that hate you. That's the way he showed me. So he said, son, he sent an angel to stand in between two houses. One house was my sister, which is Miss Mickey Howard. She was on one side, and then the other one was my dad's house, which is Clay Graham of the Pilgrim Jubilees. We sit there. I'm sitting in the back of the house, people of God. In the car, and an angel descended and stood 1 foot in one house and 1 foot in the other house and began to speak to me. He had a sword in his hand, a long pole, but on one end was a sword and on the other end was the shepherd's rod, like a hook. And he pointed the shepherd's rod to me and said, come out now. And then he flipped it in his hand and then pointed the sword proud at me and said, or die. And I was like, whoa, what is this I'm seeing? And he flipped it again and said, come out now, with the hook on his hand. And then he turned it again and said, or die, with the sword. At that point, I said, yes, Lord. And then I began to see an open vision of, looked like sheets of notebook paper that led from the door of my dad's house all the way back to the car. And on each paper was a revelation. And each document showed me how to walk in forgiveness. It showed me the newness of life. It showed me a revelation of how to enter into the kingdom of God through loving God's people. He began to deal with me and said this. He said, son, anytime you say in your heart, I don't want to have anything to do with a person because they did this and because they did that, he said, that is a grudge. That is an unforgiving spirit. He said, you've got to release that and learn how to allow your mindset to see the enemy as the one that caused the offense to come through them. And they didn't know any better. I'm like, okay, I guess I get this. And then he broke it down. He said, I want you to get up and go in the house. Come out of this car, for one, because you're oppressing my people with your attitude and because you don't want to be around them, but they let you stay here. Get out of the car and go in that house and begin to show them love. But then I start talking to God, but they don't care nothing about me. I just need you to bless me and blah, blah, blah. Then quickly it was reminded me, that angel, I better just shut up and do what God said. He starts showing me Romans, the 14th, 15th, and I believe it was the 16th chapter, if I'm not mistaken, and starts saying, recompense unto no man evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. If thine enemy hunger, give him to drink. If he thirst, give him to drink. If he's hungry, feed him. I begin to see, okay, Lord, what you're saying is go in the house. Since the enemy or the devil is using my dad and making him to be the enemy, in my mindset, I'm thinking the devil had showed me, your daddy don't like you. And that's the reason why it's such and such. But the Lord was showing me, son, your dad loves you. It's the devil that's showing you the offense, and you're being hindered by it. He's showing you the nature and the attitude that your dad has. He said, but your dad is doing only what he knows how to do. He said the same thing about my mother, my mother, the blood of Jesus. He said the same thing about my mother. He said the only reason that the enemy that you won't go and deal with your mother is because you're holding a grudge. I had said the same thing. I said the same exact thing about my mother. I'm not going to have nothing to do with her. I'd die before I go back to live in her house. Well, I gave up that spirit. When God showed me, he said, son, your mother is doing all that she knows how to do, considering she don't really know me. Yes, she goes to church, and she does love you. Because, see, the devil was telling me, your mama treating your brother better than she treats you. But God told me, he said, your mama loved you even greater because she dealt with you longer. She put up with your stuff longer than anybody else did, or your brother. Your brother was more yielding, but you were a little bit more harder to deal with. So your mother showed patience. And that's when he showed me God's love, which is patience. And I said, God, my mother really loves me then. He broke and destroyed that yoke in my life. And I said, thank you, Lord. I was able to get up from that place then and walk in the house. And God began to show me, just start fixing breakfast for your dad. Do offer to do something around the house. Do good to them. Overcome that enemy within you, son. In other words, you got the unforgiveness spirit. It's inside of you. It ain't in them. You overcome your enemy. Your inner, I-N-N-E-R, me. My enemy. Was unforgiveness. So he said, go in there and do good and overcome the enemy in you and the enemy that's binding them. When you get up and start doing things for them, you're operating in the word, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Recompense unto no man evil for evil, but overcome evil with good. I began to walk in that thing, and I start feeling yokes break. The devil start tormenting, fighting, because he didn't want me to go in the house. But I went in, and I start operating and walking the word out. And then the Lord touched my mother's heart. He said, now I'm getting ready to send your mother to you. I want you to go live with her for a while. I went with my mother, folks. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to cut it off shortly here. We still got a little time. He said, I want you to go with your mother and live with her. He said, trust me on this. I said, but God, I said I would. He said, you got to continue the process, son. Forgive. I'm sending you back through your enemies. I'm going to give you the victory over the inner you. In other words, you said, because you did this to me and you act like this and you did like that, I don't have nothing to do with you. He said, but I'm breaking that and destroying it. Get up and go live with your mother. My mother showed up. No sooner than God started dealing with me and said, son, I want you to come live with me now. And I was like, oh, my God, because God had told me to go do it. I didn't call her. She came to where I was. I went to go live with my mother. And the devil fought me all the way, people of God. He fought me the entire time, but God kept strengthening me and saying, just keep loving on it because I got you set up now. Don't you know, God blessed my mother with another job over an apartment complex somewhere else out in South Chicago, or Chicago Heights, I'm sorry. And then she left that apartment to me. They began to set me up with Section 8 and set me up with all type of financial blessings and sustained me. And then God led me from there to a new, brand new apartment on the same complex. They began to remodel that place and began to give me another apartment in another part of the Ginger Ridge apartments out there in Calumet City, and began to give me a brand new, spanking new apartment and begin to bless me. And then not long after that, not even months after that, God blessed me with a job and then turned around and gave me to go get a new car. I'm here to tell you, when God says to forgive somebody and to get rid of a grudge and that your way out is through an enemy, you either going to learn how to forgive folks and learn how to get past that. I don't want to be bothered with folks because they doing this and they doing that. No, that's your devil. That's you that need the deliverance. That ain't them. God is saying, I want to get your enemy out of you. The one that says, I don't want to have nothing to do with them because they like this and they did me this way. That's a grudge. The Bible says, grudge ye not one against the other, for the judge is at the door. You are in the judgment season, people of God. You don't want to enter over or cross over into judgment, especially with the destroyer getting ready to come into the lands. You don't want to enter into this next season with that spirit on you, because I promise you, you're going to lose everything you got. I lost everything because I was trying to hold on and wanted to be blessed just so that I could say, I don't need you. That was my attitude. Uh-oh. And see, some of us don't even think that's us, but God will show you that's your nasty attitude. You want me to bless you because you want to be grander. You want me to bless you so that you won't have nothing to do with other people. He said, but I'm not going to release nothing else to you until you get over that nasty spirit in you. I'm shutting the door. I'm closing down the heavens on you until you say yes to your will, yes to my will, and yes to your way. If you from your heart forgive not your brother or your sister, God says, I cannot forgive you. That is kingdom. That is kingdom principle. We are to love the Lord thy God with all our heart. And then the second commandment unto that is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. How can you say you love God every day and you're around your neighbor every day and can't stand the person you with? You'll hate them with a passion, but you'll cloak it and say, I don't dislike them. You're justifying your mess. God done put a drop on you today. He has put a spotlight on the enemy that's holding you up from your blessing as well as the kingdom. You can't even enter in with unforgiveness with you. You can't do it, people of God. Let it go. He wouldn't have gave me that testimony if it wasn't present. And I know God's voice. Today, if you want to see a move of God, get rid of every chief, renounce it, and become a doer of this word, and then grow up in it. Don't just do it for that one time, and then when God bless you, you go back to the same old thing, and even your confession will even tell on you. I just don't want to be around. I can't stand them. They do this to me. That's unforgiveness. I don't care how you look at it, and you're not going anywhere in the spirit world with that. You may find another way out. You may find a way to do whatever you want. I promise you that God will shut the door on you every time. I've seen it happen, and this is my testimony. And the Bible says, ye overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. And we love not our lives unto the death. I live this thing, so it's effective. It's going to charge the atmosphere, and it has already set the door. It has set the gate. You can't come out unless you give it up. That's the bottom line. You give it up, and he'll set you free. Not only will he deliver you in your spirit, but stuff around you will start looking better. You'll start feeling free. You'll start loving everybody. You'll look for. I told somebody the other not too long ago, I said, you know what, when God brought that revelation to me, I started looking for folks that hated me, or that the enemy would tell me, listen to this careful, or that the devil would tell me didn't like me. I started looking for people that every time you say they don't like you, I say, let me go do the word. Let me go over there and embrace them. Say, hey, how you doing? God bless you. I love you. I found the way to overcome my enemy in me, and it was through the word of God. We are overcomers. But if you get tripped up on this one tonight, it ain't nobody's fault. but your own. I didn't come to condemn you, but to show you a way out. There's a way of escape before the door shuts and it's getting ready to shut. Prepare yourselves, people of God, for the visitation, the judgment, it's coming. God wants to do something for us. And those of you that are under the sound of my voice, I'm getting ready to pray now. And I'm going to pray, but before I pray, I want you to do this. Acknowledge that this thing has been in operation with you. Just begin to confess. We are still muted. Can't nobody hear you but you. But begin to tell the Lord, Lord, yes to your will, this thing is in me. I want it out. I want to walk in the newness of life, as Romans 6 chapter have told me. Romans the 6th chapter and the 4th verse. I want to walk in the newness of life. I want to walk in the principles of the kingdom, because this is the only way I can get to heaven. This is the only way that I can enter into the city of Jerusalem where Jesus dwells. This is the only way I can get back to the garden where the rivers of living waters are. I want to be free. Repeat after me. Lord, nobody can hear you but me. Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I'm asking you to forgive me. I want you, God, to deliver me from blood guiltiness, from the stains of sin. I want you, Lord, to remove this thing out of my life that have held me in captivity. Come and smite this enemy. And only you all know what that enemy is. Call it out by name. Lord, I want you to smite this enemy in my life. And I want you to deal with me and give me the strength to walk in the newness of life. I don't want to be cut off from the kingdom. I don't want to miss my blessing. I want to enter in and dwell with you. And I'm not so concerned with the natural God, because you're going to take care of that. But I want to enter in and receive your spiritual blessing, which is long life, which is the refilling or the filling of the Holy Spirit. I want to be resurrected with Jesus Christ. Jesus, come into my life right there and make me whole. Make me whole. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have given them your word. Now, Father, I pray in the matchless name of Jesus Christ that you will begin to pour out your spirit. I have given them your word. Now manifest your glory and glorify it in them. In the name of Bahushkadaya, Bahushanda, Diriosi, Ikoria Baba Bahashande, Ikoriama Babibio, in the Diosi Kando, Riaba Bibiashanda, Ikaria Bahushkada, Indiriosi, in the Diokoria Babibio Koshanda, in the name of Jesus, destroy the yokes, Father. Let the angel of deliverance come forth now and destroy the yokes. Remove the burden from off their neck. And then move them into the place that they need to be in the spirit. I call for a quake shot in the spirit. And then the Oshai and a chill shot in the spirit. Deliver, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Deliver like no one can. Angels of deliverance, go forth now and begin to bring the work to pass in their lives. Set them free. Deal with them according to your tender love and mercy and kindness, O God. For we are getting ready to enter into the Passover in the name of Jesus. Help us not to miss it. Help us to have our place in you like never before. In Jesus' name. And we all love you, God. And those that are under my voice right now, that same prayer worked for salvation. That was a sinner's prayer, and that same prayer that I just prayed, that was for each and every one of us on this line. I don't care who you are. Nobody was exempt from these prayers. And I believe God has done something special in you now. Look for a change. Look for a manifestation. Look for deliverance to come. Watch that you will wake up a different way. Some of you are going to walk into your deliverance. Others, you're going to wake up feeling, I just don't feel that thing no more. And some of you, God's going to deal with you by revelation knowledge and begin to show you the truth. And when he does, obey it and walk in wisdom. Walk in the spirit that you might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Stay with God, for he won't reject you or deny you. But if you refuse him, then he has to. Go now and sin no more, because deliverance is sure to come. I prophesy it's coming. It's happening now. My God, it's happening now. It's happening now. I decree deliverance is happening now. It's happening right now in Jesus' name. Remember this. When an unclean spirit goeth out of a man, he looks for rest and findeth none, and saith to himself, I will go to the same house I was cast out. But before I do that, I'm going to go get seven more spirits more wicked than I am, and we're going to return to that house. And then when he cometh and find that house all empty and garnished, he going to come in and he going to dwell there. People of God, remember the parable. Learn how to walk upright like that child does. And learn it quickly, because God is going to smite your enemy and he's going to give you space to repent. In other words, time to learn this thing. Don't go back to your old ways. Perfect it. If you know you've been lying, shut up lying and perfect it. Work on it. If you know you've been walking in unforgiving spirits, work on it. If you've been having inordinate affections and touching yourself and others and having others in your mind while you're doing it, get over it and stop it and work on it, because he desires to clean it up. Hallelujah. If you've got unforgiveness and rejection, work on it. Manipulation, whatever it is, witchcraft, work on it. Get in his presence. Get in his word. Let him teach you. Earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word of the Lord, that you now may grow thereby. I declare it in your life that the growth has to come forth now, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, we got about 15 more minutes, and I want at this time to begin to open the lines up, and I want to hear if this word has touched your heart. I'm going to open the lines up for you to begin to expound on it. Some of you may even have prayer requests. I've got somebody else that will take that prayer request and write it down. I want those that that work with me in ministry over at Double Impact to get your pen, get your paper, and write down these prayer requests as the people will begin to say anything over this airways tonight. Amen? Amen. So that we can begin to intercede for God's people, because I know there's somebody here online with me. Go ahead and open up the lines, Evangelist Hannah.
But praise the Lord, Apostle. The lines are open. If you are on the line, can you speak so I can make sure that your line is unmuted?
Amen. I'm here. Amen.
Yes.
Hello.
Apostle, no, this is Evangelist Hannah. I'm on the line. It is people on the line, but right
okay.
Now I'm having difficulty unmuting them. But
okay.
You do have people on the line. This is a problem that I'm going to have to deal with Blog Talk.
Okay.
Glory to God.
All right. This is what I want to do. Since, don't anybody hang up. I'm going to give you a number to call. And you can call and meet us over on another one, because I want people to be able to, I want you to vocalize your prayer requests, and I want you to be able to share any testimonies and how God may have touched you in Jesus' name. Give me just a second here, and let me get this number and pull it up for you. If Sister Pinkton is on the line, I need you to text me the number to our conference line. I need you to text me that number, Sister Pinkton, or either Sister Yvonne. Either one of you all can text me that number.
Hello.
I want to. Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, they're coming in now. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing pretty good. I heard you
good.
Tonight. And, yeah, that thing with bitterness and forgiveness, yeah, I have been dealing with that. And it came exactly just about almost to your testimony.
Amen. Amen. Well, God is setting you free from that right now. I want you to make sure, though, that you follow the instructions that he has given. Getting your word on that. Everybody that has been wrestling with that, I encourage you to get into Matthew, the 5th chapter, and then get into Romans. Read the book of Romans. Concentrate on 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, if there is one. read them all.
Okay.
But deal with those particular chapters in that book because it'll help you. I promise you it will. Are there other people on the line? I want to hear. Just acknowledge that there are other people on the line. Go ahead and say something.
Hello?
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 Yeah, yes. Say That's your name.
Me.
And the, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Who am I speaking with, please?
This is Evelyn.
Huh?
Sister Evelyn.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I enjoyed that message tonight on unforgiveness. It's a funny thing because last night the Lord showed me somebody that I hadn't let go or released unforgiveness, but I repent of unforgiveness, and I pray that the Lord would continue to deliver me from that. And I was wondering if you would pray for me for high blood pressure.
Okay. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, my God.
Yes.
Listen, I need to talk to you personally because there's some things. Let me just try to give you this right now. There's some things that God wants to take away from your diet. Okay? And
okay.
I would prefer if Sister Pinkton is on the line, you know how to get in touch with her. I want you to I'm going to call her and get your number from her, and I'm going to call you after we get off the call and minister to you on that, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, because I have to deal with specifics, and we don't have that much time, so I just want to give everybody a chance to say something while they're here right now, and I'll get back to you as soon as I get done, okay?
Okay.
All right. Anyone else that want to say something while we're on the air?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is Yvonne.
Hey there.
Hey. I had a dream that I can't quite understand, and it's really kind of it's kind of personal, but I really would like understanding about it. So I just want to pray on revelation of the dream.
Okay, well, all right, we'll check with you a little later on that too. I'll call you as well. Lord says the same. I will do that. Okay.
All right.
All right. Anyone else on the line? Hello? Well, amen. Is there any other prayer requests? Any other prayer requests? I know that I have to contact two people already, but I want to know that there's any other prayer requests. Come forward now and begin to state your request. Are the lines still
on? There's a little girl whose grandmother I met today, and the little girl is 4 years old. Her name is Tamara Payton, and she has tumors on her butt, and they had it removed when she was very first born, but they're still, I guess, there. And the grandmother said it looks like they're growing and getting bigger, and I would like to just, you know, place her up for prayer. Anybody that intercedes, please pray. And she's 4 years old. Her name is Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-I-A, Peyton. And she's 4 years old.
Okay.
She has tumors on the bottom of her booty.
I want to go against that right now. Father, I want everybody. Okay, what's happening there? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
Lord. I want everybody on this line to set themselves in agreement with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we curse every tumor that's in that child's body. I send the word now to go into this situation and command every tumor to dissolve. You spoke, God, that you are going to begin to do creative miracles. I speak a creative in the name of Jesus. And I'm asking that you would work that work now in her, Father, in her body. I curse every tumor. I curse the cause. And I'm asking, God, we're asking right now that you would remove it. And then, Father, that you would heal. Right now, in Jesus' name. But you were wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities. And by your stripes, we were healed. I declare to come forth now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Listen, Sister Yvonne. I want you, do you know where this individual stays, or do you have contact with this individual?
I have contact with the individual's grandmother.
Okay. All right. Well, we're looking for a testimony to come back by next, before then, but we want to be able to vocalize the testimony of what took place by the next month, the first of next month. So that those that are online will be able to hear what God has done. So let me know when you hear the update of what's going on with her situation, okay?
All right, I surely will.
Amen. Anyone else on the line that needs prayer? Speak now if you're there. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, since we well, I just got a text message about a specific prayer request. We're going to deal with that particular issue. I know that you're online. We're going to deal with that issue. I would have hoped that you would just say that you're there online. Are you there? I just got the text message about the stomach issue. Amen. Evidently, we can't get everybody to come unmuted.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. This is Evangelist Hammond. Everyone is unmuted, and your time has been extended to another 30 minutes. But everyone is unmuted.
Amen. 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 So that those of you that heard that, then you have time to call, speak up now. We want to operate and allow the Holy Spirit to move along through now. So come forward now. Ah, Bibiosha. Nidiosoria Baba Bibiosha. Hallelujah. So
like
Pinkton, are you
prayer. Hello.
I'm sorry,
hello?
Go ahead.
I'd like to have prayer for my son. His name is Jonathan.
Okay. Does everybody get that? Her son's name is Jonathan. Is there a specific issue that you want to vocalize or you want it to be unknown?
I would like for the Lord to deal with his mind, that, you know, he would function as he was created, like the image of God. He knows the word, he reads the word, and he just, you know, he just contrary. He just, you know, not, I'm not saying to a degree where he murdered anything like that, but, you know, he's not walking in the guidelines according to God's word.
Okay, here's what I hear for you, woman of God. The word of knowledge and wisdom comes as this. It says that what I would instruct you to do is not to bother with him much more when it comes to the word, but now begin to see him through the eyes of faith. Remember this, that God watches over his word. the seed that has been already planted in him to perform it. If God has already begun to plant seed in him, you can rest assured that everything that God has spoken to him and over his life is going to manifest and it's going to come to pass. But there is a process. And when you begin to even open your mouth to say something about him, God began to show me a process of time that he's in. He is predestined to become one of God's chosen children of destiny. And at you have to trust God alone through Nebo Bohushanda. You have to trust God alone through now, because God will bring him into the place at his appointed time to where he'll start turning him into those truths. People of God know this, that when word has been released into an individual's life, and if it's a living word, and if it's a word that God has spoken himself, God has to do, just like the Bible says, he has to watch that seed go into the ground and die. Watch this, people of God. The scripture says if the seed falleth into the ground and die, it will bring forth. But you have to understand the process. When the word was delivered, now it's a seed. And everything has a seed time and harvest timetable on it. Some things happen suddenly if God wants to do it that way, but then other things have a predestined time or appointed time for it. So in the time that we are waiting for God to manifest what he said to do, this is where we are to have patience and wait in hope, and do not look at what it appears to be on the surface, but remember the word that God spoke to you concerning your children, concerning your siblings, concerning your mother, your father, your loved ones. Don't look at the things that are seen, but look at what he said, which is unseen, and wait in hope and expectation, because that's the time you have to possess your soul. That's the time you've got to believe God against odds. And it's not always easy, because as the woman of God said, he's contrary. Well, most times when things are contrary to what God has said, is because God is trying your patience, woman of God, or he's trying your faith in what he's told you about your children. And while you're waiting for him to manifest it, don't be weary. Praise him in the midst of the contrariness. Because even in the beginning, when God said, let there be, remember, he spoke into a world that was void and darkness was upon the face of the earth when he did it. He spoke, and then it had to happen, but it didn't happen before there had to be a rumbling or a shaking or a transformation to take place. There had to be a removing of some things before it to start coming into existence. So God is watching over his word, woman of God. He's watching to make sure that he's going to bring that seed into fruition. If he has spoken to you a rhema word concerning your child, if he has given you to know he's going to be all right, then you got to take him at his word and allow the word of faith to become alive in you now, because it's your resurrection season. And this is for everybody. The season we're going into now, you're going to see some things that are contrary to what God said to you. But if you hope in what he said, it's going to bring to life the seed or the word that he spoke to you. But you've got to hope against hope. You've got to hope against the contrary winds. Don't look at the darkness. Look at the seed. Look at the life. Look at what he said. Meditate on it and praise him while everything is looking like it's dark. You're just in a season where it's eclipse, where the sun goes, the moon goes before the sun, and it's dark for a minute, and then all of a sudden light shows up. Weeping may endure for a night, woman of God, but joy will come in the morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we will remember, what's his name again?
Jonathan.
We will remember Jonathan in prayer as well, because intercession is definitely still in order. That God's will, we want to pray according to God's will, that God's will be done on earth in his earthen vessel as it is already done in heaven, in Jesus' name. Okay, anyone else? You're welcome, woman of God. You're so welcome. Anyone else? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, since we're not if we're not having anyone else to come forth at this time, this is what I want you to do. Those of you that that are watching that are from Facebook, you know that I posted something about join me here on Blog Talk tonight. I want you to just go over and like that status for me. And I want to note your names, those that did watch it, listen to it. And then I'm going to have my intercessors to continue to pray for those that do like my status. Amen. And then I want to remind each and every one about the Kingdoms Builders International. They have, for those that have given their life over to the Lord or that are rededicating your life to the Lord, they do have where they can give you or mail you a Bible. If you need one in material that will help you and aid you in your new fellowship with God and showing you how to become stronger in salvation. And also those of you that would like to follow this particular ministry on Kingdom Builders International Radio, you can just go to the site, Kingdom Builders International. In fact, you would have to type in www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. I know that's a whole lot for everybody to try to remember. And you can click on follow, I believe it is. Evangelist, if you can expound on that for me, I would appreciate it. I may be getting it wrong.
Yes, you will go to the website. It's Apostle said www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. And then type in Apostle Blanton. And then all of his programs will come up. And then when you go in, you will see a follow button by his program. If you click on that button, Blog Talk will automatically email you anytime his program is coming on, which is the first Sunday of every month at 7 o'clock.
Amen. And for those of you that, yes, thank you, Lord. And for those of you that would like to follow me on, what am I trying to get to here, on Facebook, you can go to Facebook.com and type in Double Impact, Inc. That's Facebook.com/Double Impact, Inc. Or just type my name. I didn't put any titles there. I just got Keith Blanton, B-L-A-N-T-O-N. And you can befriend me there, and then you can click on the link that I have posted about the Blog Talk Radio and do as Evangelist Hannah just said. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and click on Keith Blanton and then click follow. And then every time we come on the air, there'll be an email sent to you. Or maybe a text message of some sort, and you'll be able to follow us online. Now, also, is someone else wanting prayer? I feel that in my spirit. Does someone else want to come forward right now? I feel impressed to ask that one more time.
Yeah, you know what, Pastor Blanton, just, you know, pray for me, have your lead. I just have unspoken requests.
Okay, write that down, intercessors, and we will keep him in prayer. Amen. I will do just that, man of God. Haven't seen you in service lately. I hope everything's okay, and I believe God still got his hand on you.
Okay, I'll give you a call later. I'll let you know what's going on.
That's fine. I appreciate that. At any rate, now, if there's anyone else, you can come forth and say something now, too, as well, before we get ready to go. But I do want to invite you all to listen to me on the radio here in Chicago tomorrow at 12 midnight, at 12 midnight Central Standard Time. Those of you that will be up as a night owl with me, calling on the Lord in the third watch and ministering his word and praying for the people, we will be on, you can go to www.gospel1570.com. That's pretty simple. And for some of you that are a little bit more computer savvy, you don't have to type in www. Just type in gospel1570.com. Gospel1570.com. www.doubleimpactministries.com and listen. Click on listen, and you can listen to Double Impact Ministries at 12 o'clock tomorrow midnight, Central Standard Time. And we will be on for an hour tomorrow night. Amen. And those of you that are in the Chicago area, I invite you to come out this Friday for service, because I promise you God is doing something great in these services. And I am expecting him to continue to manifest, because the need is great. The souls need to know that there is really a God that is concerned about them, and that he will minister to the needs of his people. So demonstration is going on, and he is manifesting himself. And I say that humbly, and I am grateful for that. I truly am grateful for that. One more time for a clarion call for prayer. Any special prayer requests, or if you just want to say something right now, come forward now. Amen. Well, everybody, amen. All I want to say now then is that we're getting ready to call it a night. We're getting ready to say thank you for joining us, and I hope that you have received the impartation and the deliverance that God has brought in this service on the radio at this hour. And please follow the instructions, and don't take your window, your time, for granted. You've got to maximize your moment and your time. It's so crucial to catch up and stay with God. For the work of the Lord requires haste, and your soul is in the balance. Amen. Sister Hannah, if you would like to say anything before I leave, go right ahead, and we can go. We can close out. I'm sorry, Evangelist.
Praise the Lord, and again, Kingdom Builders International. Thank you, Apostle, for being so faithful with your program and letting God use you to come forth. You can end the program now.
Amen. Amen. Well, with that being said, everybody, we want to say good night. We love you, and I'll talk to you all that I've said I would call very shortly. Amen. May everybody be blessed.